Matanuska Telephone Association CEO Michael Burke says after a couple of months of hiatus, crews are back at work on the Alcan 1 fiber optic cable project now that the ground in swampy areas along the route is good and frozen as required by federal regulations.
The Army Corps of Engineers permit that we had for some wetland areas said you had to wait till the ground froze before you could go work in that particular area.
A company subsidiary called MTA Holdings is running the project, and Burke says the contractor it hired, Alaska Directional, had finished burying just about all the cable by November. But he says the company had to wait till late December after the first real cold temperatures had set in before going back to work in areas like the Shaw Creek Flats, a wetland about 20 miles north of Delta Junction.
So we're just finishing up a little bit that needed to be done in those areas, finishing up some fiber splicing and pulling fiber into the conduit.
Burke says the new cables connected to an older Fairbanks area fiber network built years ago by a Golden Valley Electric Association subsidiary called Alaska Connect. He says MTA bought Alaska Connect 4 years ago and then linked its network with a new fiber optic cable running from Healy, which had been at the northernmost reach of MTA's service area.
So really this project is kind of an extension off of what we already owned and had in place.
Burke says once Alaska Directional completes work on Alcan 1, it'll link up with a network being built by Northwest Tel, MTA's Canadian partner. A Northwest Tel spokesman says the company's almost finished installing the 200-mile-long fiber optic cable from Haines Junction to the border, and Burke says MTA will link up once the Canadian fiber's connectivity is tested.
We're just waiting kind of for the final test results from them on their side of the network, which they anticipate having here pretty quick.
When Alcan 1 becomes operational this spring, it'll be the only terrestrial fiber optic cable linking Alaska to the World Wide Web. The other four cables run under the ocean floor from the Pacific Northwest. Burke says the overland cable will be more secure and reliable and less expensive and easier to maintain than a subsea cable.
I think each one of those four cables that are out there probably each cost over $100 million, and we're definitely spending a lot less than that.
Burke won't disclose the cost of the Alcan 1 project, but he says MTA Holdings will save many millions of dollars annually because it'll no longer have to pay other telecoms like Alaska Communications for access to their big internet backbones.
That's really the big benefit for us.
Burke says the Alcan 1 network will have enormous data capacity, up to 100 terabits per second initially, which he says is more than enough to meet all of Alaska's internet demand. He says that excess capacity will enable MTA to sell bandwidth to smaller telecoms that provide internet service to communities along the route.
So Harding Lake, Delta Junction, Toke, Dot Lake, Northway, and at the border itself, we're in the process of installing equipment there.
That's good news to residents of those communities who've had to make do with, at best, DSL connections that often are slow, bulky, and very expensive. That's why during a community meeting in Toke last fall, many area residents were very interested to hear about internet service that the area's main utility wants to provide once the Alcan 1 network is up and running.
This project, we're hopeful, will provide a much greater capacity. But we're also hoping that that price will help us in providing broadband services.
Alaska Power and Telephone CEO Michael Garrett told those at the meeting that AP&T wants to offer 10 megabits per second downloads and 1 meg per second uploads with 250 gigabyte capacity for about $80 a month. He says that's about what AP&T customers now pay for less than half that download speed and a fifth of the capacity limit. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.